You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. I think I'm starting to get sick. Yeah, I got the deep voice going today. That's right. I don't know what happened. I have no other symptom except sore throat, but I know how to deal with it. There's a kind of tea called throat coat, and I don't even know what the hell's in it. I think there's licorice in it and some other stuff. I should probably look on the ingredients, but I learned a long time ago it actually does work. In terms of if you have to talk while you have a sore throat. Yeah. But it's odd. I don't have any other symptom. Mm-hmm. So good morning on a Friday. All Marine Radio gets going. Went to a funeral yesterday. 94 years old. Lorraine Aronson. And, tell you what, I don't know how the Catholic Church gets some of the land it gets, but good God. Go to the church's St. Edward the Redeemer Church in Dana Point. Yeah. On a hill overlooking the harbor at Dana Point. Is that Dana Harbor? I don't know. You're like, whoa. Catholic Church, man, I don't know who scopes real estate for the Catholic Church, but whoever that is does high quality work. And then, I think you're getting old when you go to funerals because you're going to see a bunch of your friends. Yeah, I think so. I think I've officially turned the corner on that. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. But, the other thing I've learned how to do is celebrate life, right? In the course of my life and a couple trips to Iraq and one to Afghanistan, you're around death enough, and you learn, I think you learn a little bit how to do it. And so, 94 years old, healthy till probably the last few months of her life, mentally always there. And I told her daughter, a friend of mine, I said, you won the lottery, man. You won the parental lottery. To have your mom in your life, right, for that long a period of time, you know, come on, none of the rest of us had that. And she was a vibrant woman into her 90s. Yeah. Pretty amazing story. Met her husband during World War II. He was a pilot and trained guys how to fly in Santa Barbara. Yeah, I think what later would become Vandenberg Air Force Base. And so so they meet, and then he becomes a very, very successful stockbroker, trader kind of a guy, and in the San Fernando Valley of Los Angeles. And they live a pretty extravagant life until he contracts a neurological disorder, and they don't detect it. And then through his neglect, for instance, I mean, I think what would be customary if you knew the, you know, if diagnosed appropriately, right, you would take your holdings and you put them into a trust or you have somebody else manage it. Didn't diagnose it. And they lost everything they owned. So they move into an apartment. He ultimately goes into long-term care and spends a long time there. And she goes to work as a school teacher. And she puts her three kids through Catholic schools. They all go on to universities. And her son is a judge in Orange County. Her daughter runs Guild Mortgage. And another daughter's a real estate broker. And so, but, you know, I mean, a lot of people don't do that kind of stuff very well. And she tied her belt, and just a gracious, wonderful woman. I probably met her in the late 70s, early 80s. And then I've known her for, you know, since she passed away. So, what an incredible life. And then, she went and she taught elementary school, and then she taught music, taught the piano that she grew up playing. And I heard in her eulogy yesterday, she played at Gloria Vanderbilt's wedding in Los Angeles. Wow. So that means she was okay. Anyway. And then always, you know, again, the best part of funerals, hanging out afterwards and seeing your friends and things like that. So a fun day for me in the midst of, obviously their sadness for losing, a grandmother. So the, I know them, both the husband and the wife, because they went to college with him. The husband was a roommate of mine in college, and we've been friends ever since. And their youngest, Matt McGarry, signed with the Yankees and is in Florida. So pretty cool. Sent a picture of him signing his contract yesterday, in his Yankee uniform. Yeah, picture in the office, picture George Steinbrenner in the background. So pretty cool. Pretty cool. So got a chance to see my friends. And then I made an incredible dinner last night. Busy day yesterday. Busy day. So I don't know how I got this malady. But I've got my tea in, my official IOC mug. Infantry officer's course. My captain's bars on it. Mac. On my cup, you. So, news, big news yesterday after we got off the air, and that was the Department of Justice report. And I think, you know, most of us who pay attention to current events have been waiting for that. So what's the long and short of all of that? First of all, I said it's pretty earlier in the week, pretty depressing in our democracy when this is the point that we arrive at. It was interesting listening to different people make comments about it. Democrats are mad. You know, Democrats, if they're going to be mad, you know who they should be mad at? Bill Clinton. You know, Loretta Lynch has to recuse herself, and she would have clearly protected Mrs. Clinton in her campaign. But Buffalo Head Bill, for some reason, decides that he should talk to her at an airport. She then recuses herself. Sally Yates recuses or is recused. And the decision to prosecute Hillary Clinton is left to the head of the FBI. Now, I don't know. If I was the head of the FBI, I would have pushed back on that. And I would have said, hey, I'm not doing that. That's not what I do. Okay? I do investigations. I'll forward you the recommendation. Somebody else, right? Somebody else ought to, that's over here, separate from the FBI, the investigations branch, right? Somebody here in the district attorney's office needs to look at it and decide whether, and it might not be you, and it might not be her, but it should be somebody over here. Who's the next person in line? It should go to me. So there's a whole chain of events that gets set into motion by Bill Clinton's meeting with Loretta Lynch. You know, and you know what? I mean, both of them, you know, I don't know. Bill Clinton is probably as, well, I would have said this until most recently, okay? Given some of the stupid shit that's come down, that's spewed from his mouth. I mean, what was his latest quote? What you can compel somebody to do now is against their will is much different than it was then. Like, what did he just say? Hold on, let me see if I can find the audio of that. Clinton, what you can compel. Ooh, here it is. Yeah, I mean, just when you think, like, I don't know. Anyway, so Clinton says, what you can compel somebody to do is much different than it was years ago. Like, what did he just say? But anyway, I mean, Bill Clinton's political skills are immense. But when the spouse of a presidential candidate seeks out the Attorney General to meet, when the Attorney General is presiding over an investigation by her FBI, what was she thinking? I don't, this is no big deal. So anyway, so that starts a whole chain of events that ultimately, resulting in her recusal, Sally Yates. And again, we find, the director of the FBI, who's clearly, I don't know if he thinks he's smarter than everybody else, but he gets out of his lane. Yeah, that's not me. That's not what I do. I'm not doing that. No, I'm not calling this a matter. It's an investigation. No. So call me, in my opinion, a weak leader. When the president begins that discussion, he doesn't say, no, I can't talk about that. So he doesn't stake out the territory of the FBI in order to protect the FBI. He allows himself to be pulled into this stuff, and, he evidently thinks he's smarter than everybody else and that he can navigate it. So that begins the series. So if the Democrats should blame anybody, it isn't Comey. It's Loretta Lynch. So that's my first takeaway. The second takeaway is the broader cultural thing. The head of the FBI yesterday said, this is not an indictment on the FBI. Really? It wasn't? Then what was I reading about? If you look at some of the extracts from it, from the IG's report, first of all, the number of FBI agents that have relationships with media people is, what the IG called disturbing. The number of FBI agents who receive gifts from, what is that? So it looks like this culture that has kind of strayed from its mission and sees itself in this other kind of light that they share with media people and that they leak to, blah, 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 blah. That's a problem. You have an identity problem. And let me tell you, when we talk about who's the poster child for identity problems on this program, the United States Navy SEALs. Yeah, they have an identity crisis. Somehow or other, they have become the glamour pusses of the American military. They make movies, they write books. Here's the guy who shot Osama bin Laden. All that crap. And if you read, some of the articles from unnamed SEALs, where unnamed SEALs are quoted in this latest version. In the latest Medal of Honor controversy, they said that the truth is a casualty in this Medal of Honor. That's pretty stark, that we have a culture lost. And so you read that stuff and you're just like, wow. Well, I would tell you the FBI, when you look at their mission and you look at what they do, and you look at the IG report, that's amazing. That's amazing. And then, the part of those emails, and that's before you get to the emails between Strzok and whatever her name was. Is it Lisa Strzok or whatever? So what does it tell you about, and I made this comment a couple weeks ago, it seems to me that the garbage that we see that is the subject of this quote.
Let me be clear. As hard as the last 16 years have been on our military, no enemy in the field has done more to harm the readiness of the U.S. military than the combined...
Then the Congress, okay? like I said, he's pretty slick, okay? But you can't keep your office if you would have busted out this quote and put Congress at the end of what I'm going to play for you right now.
Let me be clear.
Yeah, can you imagine if you bombed Congress in here?
Hard as the last 16 years have been on our military, no enemy in the field has done more to harm the readiness of the U.S. military than the combined
efforts of the House and Senate of the United States in America. United States of America, no enemy in the field has done the damage of the House and the Senate. None. Pretty indicting statement. And why? Why have they done this? Why can't they pass a budget? Because it's a circus act that goes on that substitutes for leading the nation in Washington, D.C. It's why we need to get more veterans to run. And that's why I'm looking into a collateral mission for All Marine Radio. How do I partner with nonprofit organizations to encourage veterans to run? And I don't care if you're a lefty or a righty. The only pledge you have to say is, I commit that I will compromise. I will pass a budget. I will not be somebody who continues to hurt the nation by locking it in a state of gridlock and dysfunction. I won't be that person. All right? Put the nation before your party. Put the nation before yourself. And the garbage that we see in D.C., right, that Mattis is talking about, if you look at this report, it is now spread. And I don't know why we wouldn't, right? It's the same group, it's the same class of people, right? A lot of aristocrats in the United States, they make great money, right? They don't go fight the wars, they just tell other people to. They just play the game of chess at the top. So that infection is spread, obviously, to the FBI and the Department of Justice. So to me, so when you broaden the lens and you can go into the report and you can take out, a million different, anecdotes about the report. Okay. and just the headlines, right? Just headlines. Funny. Headline, Bill Clinton offended over criticism of his tarmac meeting with Attorney General Lynch. this is written yesterday. Right? Former President Bill Clinton was offended by widespread criticism of his June 2016 tarmac meeting with then Attorney General Loretta Lynch days before the FBI decided it would not recommend criminal charges against his wife. He told the Justice Department's Inspector General, quote, I thought you know, I don't know whether I'm more offended that they think I'm crooked or that they think I'm stupid, Clinton told investigators, according to the report released Thursday by Justice Department Inspector General Michael Horowitz. Hold on, let me see if I can. In the report, Horowitz criticized Lynch's infamous meeting with the Clintons on the Arizona tarmac, calling it an errant judgment as the Justice Department was investigating then Democratic presidential candidate Hillary Clinton. Quote, although we found no evidence that Lynch and former President Clinton discussed the investigation or engaged in other inappropriate discussions during their tarmac meeting, we also found that Lynch's failure to recognize the appearance problem created by former President Clinton's visit and to take action to cut the visit short was an error in judgment. Lynch has claimed that she and Clinton spoke only of innocuous things during the tarmac meeting, calling it a chance encounter. Ex-FBI Director James Comey has publicly taken issue with the meeting, saying it was a deciding factor in his decision to act alone to update the public. Comey, man, off the rails. Seriously. Yeah, so what is, so, well, it can't be both, could it, Bill? Could it be arrogant and stupid at the same time and crooked? Because it's not like if somebody's doing a commercial for Mr. Clean, you're probably not going to get a call for that. You may or may not know that. Bill. That is not true. She did not recuse herself. She said she would follow the advice of the career prosecutors. That is clearly trying to dance between the raindrops. All right. Okay. So recuse is the wrong word. I take recuse back. Recall that I've previously written that I think Comey is not quite the conspirator that the right has made him out to be. His leadership sucks. But I think he knew what was happening regarding Hillary, and he chose to do the July news conference as a way to thwart the Hillary machine and Lynch's DOJ. That's not his role, though. This is just my opinion. That's not his role. To me, the problem with Comey is he doesn't stay in his lane. He sees, I don't know if he put his cape on that day, or that's how he sees himself. I'm the only one. Bro, I don't know that that's a good place to be. This doesn't mean I'm a Comey fan. He comes out looking pretty stupid in all of this. Because you have a system. He's the investigator, right? Find me the DA. And if I was Comey, I would not have allowed myself to be, or the FBI to be put in that position. It's not a good position to be in, knowing the lightning rod that it would become. I do investigations. Yeah, I can hear it. If I had a Dragnet voice, Joe Friday voice, I would use it right now. I do investigations, ma'am. Just the facts. Yeah, that's supposed to be the FBI. But what we find out yesterday, it's a swirling tempest. And probably the most, in my opinion, the most controversial piece is the whole Peter Strzok text messages. Right? I mean, wow. Yikes, 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 yikes. So, again, my preference would be to keep the lens wider and look at the macro piece of this and say, what's going on? And honestly, the FBI has major issues. The FBI has major issues in terms of its leadership, in terms of its partisanship, in terms of its relationship with the media. And so I would say that this is not a bad thing for the FBI. In fact, this is probably a good thing. It will allow them to reset themselves. It will allow certain people to be ushered to the door, and you're going to see guys like Comey, and honestly, Mueller this splatters on him too. This is the FBI that you have given us. This is what you allowed. And look, I'm sure if you find this in this investigation, if you start poking around in other stuff, goes back a long time, and you will see it all over the place. So I think that to me, as you look at this stuff, it's and again, I think the FBI director, yeah, I'm not sure that I concur with your judgment, right? But again, yeah, Peter Strzok's email or text message will stop him from becoming president? Like, what the hell is that? And here's the other question. Why is he still an FBI agent? Well, F-18 guy the other day told a story about a house mouse, right? And what do we do with them? Pending the they already had the investigation. They know that this guy stole money. He's a recruit. Right. He's a recruit. And he shows He's a recruit, and he's the house mouse. So, you know, he helps out in the office of the platoon sergeants, blah, 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 the drill instructors, yada, yada, yada. So they have all the PIN numbers in case the recruits forget them. So he organizes fire watches to go over and take money out of accounts. And he empties the accounts of just about the entire platoon. Now, I'm not sure how you think you're going to get away with this, but he did. So, and this is under the guise of what is Peter Strzok and Lisa, whatever her name, have the drums. So the investigation gets completed pretty quickly, and they come and they present the evidence. And so F-18 guys, the company commander, he says, well, what do we do? And they said, let them graduate. Let them graduate, officially become Marines. Then we can use the UCMJ. Ooh. So are they still working members of the FBI pending this investigation? So you have access to them? I don't know. But the IG report refers five FBI employees for investigation. Lisa Page, that's her name. Pretty sobering stuff. How, as an FBI agent, do you take gifts from, this is another thing, how do you take gifts? These are all other things that were in the report. How do you take gifts from journalists and not think, that's like taking cases of olive oil from Vito Corleone and thinking he's never going to come back. You know, oh, honey, who's that? Oh, he's a friend of mine. What's he do? Oh, he's a businessman. He's in the olive oil business. Oh, my. You know, you know, he just dropped off 10 cases of olive oil. That'll save us a lot of money. Yeah, he's a nice guy. So she kibitzes with her friends the next day, right? As women do, living in row housing in New York City. And he comes home, and she says, you need to give it back. He says, what? The olive oil. Do you know who he is? Yes, he's in the olive oil, but no. Do you know what he does? He's the Black Hand. He's the Mafia. I can't turn it down. When he gives a gift, it won't be good if we turn it down. Right? Okay. I can't get on his bad side. So what could I possibly help him with as an undertaker? As the scene in the movie goes, right? This isn't actually a scene, but he does the undertaker a favor. A friend of the undertaker's wife is being evicted and blah, 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 blah. So anyway, Vito intervenes. So I think he shoots the dude. But that's beside the point. I may be wrong about that. So, how is an FBI agent, can you imagine as if, and like an FBI agent to battalion commanders? Yeah, the military reporter for the LA Times, hey, you want tickets to the U.S. Open? Yeah, but I can't accept. How do you say yes to that crap? Tickets that, quote, tickets to sporting events, golf outings, drinks and meals, and admittance to non-public social events. I'm not sure what those are. Like, I mean, come on. What, FBI agents doing that? For reporters. What is that called? Quid pro quo. They're doing that because they believe in the country and they just want to. I mean, it's icky, right? It's icky. Icky's a technical. Yeah, it's a technical phrase, okay? Icky. Look it up. And so it's just, I don't know. What is, I don't know who. A culture of corruption? Where have I heard that before? Yeah, a culture of corruption, the FBI. So get the steam cleaner out. Time to go back to this is what we're dedicated to. Right? The way we conduct ourselves is pretty important. And, you know, to me, there ought to be a special class. If you're going to be romantically involved with another FBI agent, or, and it should be a broader class, or you're going to have an affair with one, okay, these are the rules. Because there seems to be a little bit of this going on. Okay? So, we're going to educate you about this. All right, we don't text about, we don't kiss and tell. We don't talk about business. Got it? That is the official business of the FBI. You don't talk about that with anybody, even another FBI agent. Ohio man's fired up today. It's pretty clear that he lost control of the entire situation. That's being kind to James Comey. McCabe and his cabal were doing their own thing to protect Hillary and later to incriminate Trump. It is the one thing that Comey hasn't come clean on yet. You know, and the report says if there was the one place that the guy who writes this will stop Trump from becoming president, right? The guy who writes that is the guy who is Hillary's advocate. And the report states, although inconclusive, the winding down of the Clinton email probe to include not looking at the emails for, what, 6 weeks on Andrew Weiner's laptop and the ramping up of the Russia probe is where Peter Strzok, his handiwork, would have been injected. The evidence is inconclusive about that. Yeah, so it's just our Department of Justice and the FBI, icky, icky, icky. Yep. So, and I'm sure there's a lot of career FBI agents that are watching this that served honorably and just makes them cry. You know, I would like it. It's similar to, I'm sure the way Marines felt. If you look up Clayton Lone Tree, L-O-N-E-T-R-E-E, and then Time Magazine, and then you do that, and I'm looking for the cover of Time Magazine, because it has a Marine on it with a black eye. And I'm not finding it. But there was incredible outrage among Marines that Time Magazine, because of the act of one, wow, that's amazing. How Clayton Lone Tree, Time Magazine cover, and it doesn't come up. The Holes in a Spy Scandal. I'm looking for the Time Magazine piece, but I'm not finding it. Anyway, it came out, and people were just, you know, Marines and veteran organizations were just rip shit about it. Yeah. And so it's a cover, it's on the cover of Time Magazine. And you know that that image that says tell it to the Marines, and it's kind of a Marine in his dress blues and his hands are balled up in fists and they're kind of out to his sides and he's got this mean look on his face. I think it's that picture, but he's got a black eye. Put that on the cover of Time Magazine. In front of God and everybody. I would liken this to that. I mean, I'm sure there's people who have devoted their life to the FBI and the Department of Justice that yesterday sat there and watched that and just went, wow, 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 wow. But again, it's the abyss. it's part of the abyss. Now, the question is, does it stop there? You know, what about other departments? Are they, I mean, why would we, if that's how the FBI is, what is the Department of Education like? What is the Department of the Interior like? Do they place their hands on the scale? Or do they follow their, instincts or their charter as civil servants? I would say sadly, there's no reason for any of us to believe that they don't do what civil servants in the Department of Justice and the FBI do. So I don't know. Do civil servants at the federal level in Washington, D.C., do they need some reset training on their ethical responsibilities? I think that's appropriate. You don't have that right. You don't have the right to put your hand on the scale of justice. You take an oath. We expect you to execute that oath. That's how the system works. If you don't do that, then this whole thing we've set up is corrupt and is bankrupt. The American people count on you. They expect that when you go in front of them and tell the truth. Now, let me ask you this. The next time the Attorney General, and tell me Jeff Sessions didn't quote the Bible. Good God, man. Are you kidding me? God, Sessions, stop it. Okay? I've been doing other things, and I saw that, and I thought, this is in the Washington Post, this is the headline though. Sessions cites Bible passage used to defend slavery in defense of separating immigrant families. Now, the Washington Post is a left-leaning paper. I got it. Alright? But here's the story. Attorney General Jeff Sessions on Thursday used a Bible verse to defend his department's policy of prosecuting everyone who crosses the border from Mexico, suggesting that God supports the government in separating immigrant parents from their children. And this is a quote. I would cite to you the Apostle Paul and his clear message and his clear and wise command in Romans 13 to obey the laws of the government because God has ordained the government for his purposes. Sessions said during a speech to law enforcement officers in Fort Wayne, Indiana, quote, orderly and lawful processes are good in themselves. Consistent and fair application of the law is in itself a good and moral thing, and that protects the weak and protects the lawful. Government officials occasionally refer to the Bible as a line of argument. For instance, the Republicans who have quoted 2 Thessalonians, if a man will not work, he shall not eat, to justify more stringent food stamp requirements. But the verse that Sessions cited, Romans 13, is an unusual choice. And so it goes into a discussion of the use of this, and again, linking it to arguments in the 1840s and 1850s when the same passage was invoked by defenders who lived in the South of this institution of slavery. Oh, my God. So, yeah, I don't know. I watch it, and it's like, what chance do the American people have if it's this crooked? And so the president's out this morning saying, look, the investigation into me was launched by these people. All of what you've seen that has happened to Paul Manafort, to General Flynn, is a result of corrupt FBI agents who should be prosecuted. Wow. And that, you know, honestly, and that the head of the investigation was part of this corruption. It went on under him, Robert Mueller. So, nice. Let's see. In news this morning, the president has announced $50 billion in new tariffs against China. And I'm all about it, man. I think this whole, you know, again, when you hear free trade, it's bullshit. Explain what you mean by free, okay? Senator, can you sit down with me? Free trade, you're for free trade with who? Everybody, son, I'm for free trade. Okay, all right, could you sit down, get your pencil out? Oh, what are we doing here? I'm doing my foghorn leghorn. I say, boy, what are we doing here? Yeah. I just want to reconcile with you. Okay, so we have American producers. Yeah. Yeah, boy, we have some great American producers all over this country. It's a great country. We're making America great again. Yeah, thanks, Senator. Thank you, Senator Leghorn. So when you say free trade, okay, we have all these organizations. The Food and Drug Administration, EPA, OSHA, Disability Social Security, all these things that American producers have. When you say free trade, you mean that we're going to allow in on an even keel nations that that go ahead and don't have any of that. Son, when I say free, I mean free. Okay, thank you. Next question. What about if the government subsidizes? So what that government does relative to its internal politics is beyond the purview of this committee. So when I say free trade, I'm for free trade. But so you legally have placed these requirements on our producers. They're being subsidized because that government can't have that business go out of business because it throws too many people out of work, destabilizes the government. Son, I think you're digging a little bit too far into the weeds these days. Did I tell you I'm a free trader? Senator Leghorn, what I'm trying to show you is that it's not free. It's not fair. It's not even close. I say, what's your name, son? McNamara. You can call me Mac, though, because I'm like that with people I know. Mac, let me tell you, all right, we're on the path to make America great again. I'm for free trade, you know, and that's the shit you hear. So I'm for this. Go through the footnotes of globalization. Yeah, not so much. We don't need national borders. We're all gonna join hands and sing the Coke song at the start of the soccer game. Right, yeah. We're going to sing the Coke song. Do you guys know what the Coke song is? Or is that, am I too old? I'd like to, okay, hold on. If you've never heard it, all right, you are going to be, extremely excited. So instead of a national anthem, okay, this is what we're going to play. All right. This is what we're going to play at the soccer game. Vladimir Putin at the soccer game yesterday. Russia hammering Saudi Arabia. Prince Salman. Yeah, he was there too.
I'd like to buy the world a home and furnish it with love.
Yeah.
Grow up on trees and honeybees and snow white turtle dove. I'd like to teach the world to sing. Sing with me and sing harmony. Perfect harmony. I'd like to buy the world a home and keep it company.
Okay, now, if you've never seen the video, it's people from every country in the world on a ridgeline, and they're wearing ethnic clothes, they're wearing normal clothes, it's just the whole gamut. This is globalization, and this is the national anthem.
I'd like to buy the
Now, we'll screw with the lyrics, okay, because we're not going to sing about Coke when we're singing, right, the Hummingbird National Anthem, okay, and the National Anthem of Globalism. It's the real thing, Coke. So that would be the national anthem for the Hummingbird people and for globalization. But yeah, I don't buy it for a minute. All right. From the Associated Press, President Donald Trump followed through Friday on his threat to crack down on China for its, quote, very unfair, unquote, trade practices, announcing that he would be imposing a 25% tariff on $50 billion of Chinese imports. Beijing quickly responded in a late-night statement. China's Ministry of Commerce said it would impose trade barriers of the same scale and same strength. All right. U.S. and Chinese officials in recent weeks had made progress on a deal that would involve up to $70 billion in purchases of American products. But the Chinese offer is now invalid, according to the statement. You know, I think, you know, Donald Trump fancies himself a deal maker, right? And I think after, what, it being in office for almost a year and a half, he has, I think, understands how to play the game better, and I think he understands the immense power of the United States. And I think he sees people that don't use that power, weak presidents who have gone before him. Mueller fired him. My point about Mueller is, Mueller presided over the decline of the FBI culture. I mean, the FBI didn't become what we're seeing of it yesterday. It's been like that. So the question is, begin to reach back, and how many other times did FBI agents put their hand on the scale? Right? Are we naive enough to think this is the only time? And I'll tell you what, I still don't understand the FBI's Office of Ethics clearing Andrew McCabe to be involved in cases involving political figures when his wife is a candidate and accepted $700,000. Like, look, I didn't go to an Ivy League university, okay? But I didn't fall off the truck this morning, okay? So the appearance, give me a break, man. The appearance of that, were I the FBI director, Mr. Director? Yeah, what's up? Can I have a minute with you? Let me just get through my read board, my classified read board, because, you know, I've got the special agent, Musselman standing right here breathing hard until I give it back to him so he could take it back to the vault. Okay, I'll be out the hallway. Got it. So I finished the classified read board, give it to Musselman, right? I say, see you later, Gunner. All right, sir. Musselman leaves. All right, next. Boom, they come in. I just want you to know that, you know Andy McCabe. Yeah, I know Andy. Yeah, he works down the hall. Got it. His wife's running for office. Yes. We're just wrapping up an ethics investigation, whether he should, have to recuse himself from different cases. Yeah. And I just want to lay it out for you before we make it public. The ethics committee has found that there is no conflict of interest in him being involved in the adjudication and decision making regarding political investigations that we're conducting, namely the Clinton email case, and the fact that his wife took $700,000 from an organization that was run by a close friend of Hillary Clinton. So we don't believe that's a conflict, and we just want to bring that to you because we'll need your signature on it. Yes. Okay, two things. One, got it. I'll sign your report, you know, so that you, we can all, we can, you know, we can conclude this. I accept your findings, and then I will write my own letter saying that it is a conflict and he will not work on those. Now they look at me with their jaws open. Sir? Yeah. Remember, you're a committee and that's your recommendation, right? Who's the director of the FBI? Well, you are. Mac? That's right. Call me sir right now, okay? Because I'm being sir right now. I'm not Mac. This is not the horizontal, like, organization. This is the vertical organization, okay? Yes, sir. Very good. Okay, so you make that recommendation to me, right? Right. Do I rubber stamp? Am I your rubber stamp? Am I your bitch? And now they can see, like, no, sir, of course not. That's right. That's your recommendation. I don't accept it. The reputation of the FBI, especially in stuff like this, is going to be grossly partisan, needs to be pristine. If you don't know what that means, look it up. Okay? Okay, what you're threatening to do to me is make us skanky. We're not skanky, we're pristine. Okay? Questions? Here, hand that to me, I'll sign it right now. Send my secretary in. Marge! Marge rolls in. I have accepted the Ethics Committee's investigation. I have rejected their findings. Andrew McCabe will not work on anything political as long as his wife is a candidate for public office. That's right. Questions? Comments? No, sir. Boom! Yeah. Shit like that. Damn. Dude's uptight. Doesn't know how we do it here. Yeah, uptight. Loretta Lynch wants you. No, I'm not doing that. Well, she'd like to speak to you. That's fine. Sir, because now Marge knows when I'm, like, fired up, it's you better be saying sir, okay? Because we're vertical right now. We're not, you know, we're not singing the Coke song right now. Okay, so we're not singing the Coke song. And so Loretta Lynch calls. Sir, Loretta Lynch on the phone. Madam General, morning. Mac here. Hey, Mac, just wanted to talk to you about how this is going to play out, Miss Ma'am. I'm not, because of the complications relative to my meeting with President Clinton, I'm not in a position to make a decision on this. Okay? Understood? I'm not going to have Sally make that decision either. Okay. So what I'm going to propose and put forward is that you, the investigators, is going to make that decision. Ma'am, that's not the job of the FBI. I do investigations and we make recommendations. Some lawyer at the Justice Department needs to. I don't care if it's your newest lawyer, but that's not what we do. So I will, if you require that of me, I will reject it, and I'll state my piece. Jim, we're looking for you to, or Mac, we're looking for you to be a team player. I am a team player. I'm on the FBI team. That's my team, right? You're the Justice Department. I stay in my lane. I'm not doing that. But anyway, so a lot of stuff in the news. Yeah. Let me read you an email. Mac, thank you for the Hummingbird National Anthem this morning. Always makes me laugh when you do that stuff. And then he goes on, Senator Leghorn, are you shitting me? That's quality stuff. It's the truth, though. Boy, I'm for globalization. Do you know what it means, Senator? Do you have any idea what you're talking about? And this is the kind of shit that you get, right? I'm interviewing a senator from North Dakota who sat on the Senate Budget Committee. Question, Mac, all right? Mac, question. Senator, explain to me, how do you pay for Social Security for the baby boomers when they get there? If you're not going to raise taxes and you're not going to stop raiding the Social Security Trust Fund, how do you pay for them? Where does that money come from? You know, Mac, that's a really good question. And, you know, it's a big challenge in front of the nation, blah, 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 blah. And then he didn't, as they often do, didn't answer the question. He just said something he wanted to say. And I said, hey, sir, you didn't answer my question. How do you pay for it? Where does that money come from? He said, well, since we're not going to raise taxes to do it, and I would never propose that,
right,
then the our only recourse is for the economy to perform better. And so Mac is sitting there. Okay, now, do I want this guy to come on my program again? That's the question. Because when you have him on, that's what you're thinking about. Are they going to come on the program? Because if you're too rough on them, right? If you call like, that's bullshit. The next time you call, yeah, Mac, you know, the senator's, his schedule's pretty booked for the next couple weeks. Call me in a couple weeks. And they play that sideways forever, right? That's why you see all the softballs when they show up. It's a headline. He's on the program. That's the leverage of a political figure, right? I'll make your ratings go down by not appearing. Anyway, so I said, so that's what we're left is the economy has to perform better. He said, well, the box you've constructed for me, the baby boomers are coming claiming their Social Security benefits. We're not going to raise taxes. And we haven't stopped raiding the Social Security box. There's only one other thing that could happen. The economy has to perform better. And if it doesn't, I don't have an answer for that. Obviously, cutting spending. But that's... I don't have a good answer for that. So that's... And he's a smart guy, but that's the game they play. So, anyway. Yeah, so kind of an icky planet we live on right now. Especially, it's kind of an icky country. A country in which the truth isn't important anymore. A country in which the first question young people get asked is, how did that make you feel? Yeah, that's a bullshit country. And I think it's good that these things get put right in the front page. And the president... Well, we need to get the pressure washer out, turn the heat on high, and begin the pressure washing. And when people do put their hand on the scale, like Andy McCabe, their lives should be impacted. Just like they should when you don't live up to your oath in the Marine Corps. Right? You should not pay a $6,000 fine when your negligence leads to somebody's death. Let alone the death of 7 people or 10 people and be allowed to retire at your current rank. It should cost you. They should carve it out of your ass. Right? So he was a commander. That means, in Marine Corps parlance, he is a colonel. No, he's a lieutenant colonel. Okay? He's a commander. Captain is a colonel. So, what does he get to retire at? Reduce him 2 ranks. And let him retire. And every month when you get your retirement pay on the 1st, you get a reminder. This should have been a bigger number, right? But you screwed it up. And so the people that get caught with doing this shit, you gotta hammer them. No attrition, no morale. Okay? So the attrition for the greater good has to be people that put their hand on the scale got to get jacked up. So we'll see what happens. But, like I said, the Navy, no. Look, the Navy, again, it's still, it's unfathomable. It's unfathomable to me. The lieutenant who is the officer of the deck, the night that she ran, she drove that ship into a merchant that was running straight at night with all his lights on, okay? She got non-judicial punishment. She didn't even get a bullshit summary court-martial. And seven people died. But she was a victim of the entire naval shit show. And that's how that works. And here's the response to that. We deploy all the time at less than 100%. If you listen to last battlefield study, you heard Duffy White talking about cobbling together. We're trying to get parts, we're getting people. And we deploy like that. And we're still doing it the day we cross the line of departure. We're integrating people into the unit. We're crossing the LD. That means going into the attack. We're not 100%. And so what's your job as a leader? Your job as a leader to manage all that. So, oh, they're not 100%. Oh, no shit, they're not 100%. So the radar is degraded. Okay, the radar is degraded, right? We know that. Okay, so maybe what might we do? Let's just say the radar is not degraded. Do you think as we're laterally transiting a major shipping route, that we might double the watch on the external part of the ship? I still haven't seen a blow-by-blow of the Fitzgerald and how they don't see another ship coming like that. It's just, and then she's NJP. So she just walked in and she just, no, she's in charge. So, anyway. All right, based after that, good morning to you. I'm late for the chef. He won't be happy about that. Yes, he will. The chef likes me. He's my friend. So, Whitney Houston sings the national anthem. I'm not going to do other news today. This is dedicated to everybody who does it right and is committed. And I know that's 90% of the FBI and the Department of Justice. But make no mistake about it, there's a problem. And here's in hoping that Director Ray takes care of the problem. And here's hoping that that Attorney General Sessions stops quoting the Bible and gets after his portion of it. And get the steam cleaner out and get the shit out of there. But for everybody else that goes to work every day and does what they're supposed to do, good on you. Don't be discouraged. Hopefully the people that lead your organizations do the right thing. If they don't be afraid to put your hand up in public forums and say, what are we doing about this? Because I'm sick of it.
Hey! so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
Let me be clear. As hard as the last 16 years have been on our military, no enemy in the field has done more to harm the readiness of the U.S. military than the combined impact of the Budget Control Act's defense spending cuts, worsened by us operating in 9 of the last 10 years under continuing resolutions, wasting copious amounts of precious taxpayer dollars. If you don't get the resources, my closing words, then your strategy is nothing more than a hallucination, because without the resources, there's just so much brave young men and women can do.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, he goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once them bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Yeah. Oh, man, that's awesome. Can you imagine, were you a Vietnam veteran, and you came home, and they told you to take your uniform off and don't talk about it and just forget about it?
I can't even imagine. I have so much respect for those guys.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
Clouds of 79 in Quantico. Clouds of 78, Camp Lejeune. Doesn't happen when North Carolina is cooler than Virginia very often. Just the weather, no. Mostly sunny in 86 in Texas and Granbury. Clouds in 54 in Montana. Clouds in 86 in 29 Palms. It means it's going to be hot there. Clouds in 65 at Camp Pendleton. Cloudy dark in 82 in Okinawa. And Afghanistan's cooled off, at least the Helmand Province has. Dark clear in 96 at the home of All Marine Radio. Clouds in 67. On our way to a high of 74 there. Okay, we're going to disappear for a very quick moment, and then the chef's going to join us, and we'll continue. All Marine Radio on a Friday.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.